Welcome to Review Set Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair.
Blair, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I am doing well. We have officially made it to the end of September, aka Stephen King month. And boy, oh boy, are we ending with a bang. But before we dive into this week's episode, what do you say we chat a little bit about some horror news? You want to kick this one off?
Just got two items to talk about. First, Saw 10 comes out this weekend. Mm-hmm. I have not got tickets yet, but I do plan to see it.
Saw 10. There's 10 of them.
No, can you believe that?
It's kind of weird that it is coming out this weekend, and there's only been, to my knowledge, one trailer released.
They've been doing a lot online, I've noticed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, only one trailer, but they also released a snippet of one of the traps.
Okay.
It's like an eye trap with, I think it's rats that are coming through some tubes.
I have heard of the eye trap. I've seen like a still image of two tubes by somebody's eyes.
I think that's one of the posters for it, but
it should be interesting. Is this a theater C for you? Are you going to go and see this in the cinema?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Are you going to come with me or what?
I would love to.
Okay. Right on.
Date night. Date night. Perfect. That is definitely a movie I think you got to see with an audience filled with people who also want to see it in theaters.
A Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey type of event.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Which brings me to my next piece of horror news, which I don't even have written down, but I just thought of it now. They have announced for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, a new character.
Oh?
Tigger.
No way. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Finally. Okay.
Tigger's finally, they're finally able to use him.
Right.
They've showed some still photos of the character, and he looks so badass, man. You have to check it out after.
I'm going to go and Google that immediately after this episode. That is something that we noticed about the first one, and it was something that we questioned right away. It's, where's Tigger? Mm-hmm. You know, he's so lovable and crazy, and
they weren't in public. He wasn't in public domain yet, right?
That's what we had figured. Yeah, but okay, that's exciting. Is there a release date on that one yet?
I don't know. I'm sure there is. Actually, no, I don't think there is, to be honest.
I can't remember if there is or not. Yeah.
I didn't look into it.
Another fun one that we will most definitely have a date night to go and see in theaters.
For sure, man. If it's anything like we saw the first one, it will be a fun time, man.
100%. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Smile. Have you ever seen Smile?
I have not seen it yet.
Great movie. I suggest you watch it. But they have announced Smile 2 for Halloween of 2024.
That's great. I love that. And we had chatted about it on one of our more recent episodes, I believe, about how a lot of these horror movies are being greenlit basically right after or during production.
You know? The first one, great,
which is fantastic. Yeah. You just liked the first one, hey?
I loved it, man. I thought it was really good. I saw it in theaters. I haven't seen it since. It deserves a second watch, but I remember really enjoying it. I saw it Halloween. I think it came out Halloween last year, so that's when I would have seen it.
The trailer was really, really cool. I remember being like seeing the trailer a lot, and the trailer was creepy as hell, which is always a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. But that's all I got for horror news.
I feel like Smile maybe came out around the same time as Megan. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right, but I think Smile came out before Megan. I believe, like maybe a few months before Megan.
Gotcha. Okay. I got a couple pieces of horror news here. There has been a lot of buzz recently on the new Mike Flanagan Netflix series. Mike Flanagan, of course, created the smash hits The Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting of Bly Manor. And he directed Dr. Sleep, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has created the new 8-part series, The Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay.
The new series has been getting rave reviews, including a perfect 10 on IGN. The Fall of the House of Usher is loosely based on the short story from Edgar Allan Poe and will premiere on Netflix October 12th, right around the corner.
Are you familiar with that story at all?
Not with that one, but I have seen The Haunting of Bly Manor. I have not seen The Haunting of Hill House. Pretty eerie stuff.
So I've heard. I haven't gotten into either of those shows myself, but
yeah. It's very creepy visually. It's really, really cool, really dark, really gothic feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. I'm really wanting to check out The Fall of the House of Usher. It looks good. And then finally, a runtime has finally been announced for The Exorcist Believer.
And?
So it was recently listed on Rotten Tomatoes at 2 hours, 1 minute.
Okay.
The newest runtime is 1 hour, 51 minutes. So a whopping 10 minutes cut from this movie, which is a lot.
That is a lot. It always makes you wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. This puts it about 10 minutes shorter than the original.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it makes you think, what did they cut? Because 10 minutes is not, that's a whole scene right there. So The Exorcist Believer is scheduled to be released October 6th, 2023, right around the corner. We will hopefully be there opening night, filled with both excitement and anxiety.
I was about to say, it's going to be another date night for us. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, October is going to be a fun month for sure. That's all I have for horror news. What do you say we dive into this week's episode, the last episode of September, aka Stephen King month, which is 1980's The Shining, coming in at a whopping 2 hours, 26 minutes. Blairski, initial thoughts on the runtime.
You looked so happy when you announced the title.
Yeah.
It's a long movie. It's a long movie. I do love this movie, don't get me wrong, but it's a long movie.
I'll get into it in likes and dislikes, but this movie, in my opinion, gets better with age. I've watched this movie, and I've seen this movie, I don't even know how many times. I saw it the first time on PBS when I was probably 11 or 12.
Right on.
I've seen it a million times since then, and every time I appreciate it more and more. But we'll talk about that later. Fun facts on this one. Blairski, you want to kick it off?
I've got quite a few, man. I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
The film received 2 controversial nominations at the Razzies in 1981, Worst Director and Worst Actress.
Shelley
Duvall, yeah. But the Shelley Duvall one was rescinded in 2022 due to Kubrick's treatment of her on set.
Unreal.
Right?
Unbelievable. We'll get into it in likes and dislikes.
We will.
I thought Shelley Duvall was fantastic. But
As did I.
We'll get into it. Yeah.
The Shining was ranked the 75th greatest film of all time in the Sight and Sound Directors Poll. And in 2018, the film was selected for the preservation in the United States National Film Registry as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
Wow. So, big honor.
Huge honor. That's a huge honor. Although Jack Nicholson was Kubrick's first choice for the role, he was his first choice, but other actors that were considered were Robert De Niro, Robin Williams, and Harrison Ford.
So to add to that, I don't know
any of those three.
Yeah, I don't know if you added on to that, but apparently, after seeing Taxi Driver with De Niro and seeing Mork and Mindy, he decided against both De Niro and Robin Williams. He thought De Niro was not psychotic enough.
Okay.
And Robin Williams was too psychotic.
I was gonna say that I think Robin Williams would have done a good job, I feel like.
It would have been. I could see. I mean, I just keep thinking kind of like Cape Fear, but I could see it would be a completely different movie, I think, completely different take. It's so hard to even, well, I was thinking like remake, would they ever do a remake? And I just feel like this movie, it's been
the only way they could do a remake that would work, it would have to be a remake based on the book.
It would like, have to be a little bit,
like it would have to be, because I look at this movie as Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Not so much Stephen King's The Shining. Have you read the book?
I haven't. I'm currently reading the book.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah. And Stephen King is not a fan of this movie.
No, he's not.
There is a miniseries that came out, I believe, in the 90s, like a made-for-TV kind of it thing.
Okay.
That I think he was a little bit more favorable to, just because it was closer to the book.
His work. Yeah, his work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
We'll get more into that coming up. My last bit of horror news is the scene where Wendy has the bat and is walking backwards up the stairs. It is the most it is one of the most reshot scenes in all of cinema. And according to the Guinness Book of Records, Kubrick demanded the shot be repeated 127 times.
It's awful. That's awful.
Right?
Like, enough is enough. And I mean, Kubrick is known as this, you know, genius, and he's obviously made some fantastic, fantastic films. But how dare you?
I know, those methods he's using.
It's just inhumane. Ugh. That was all you had for fun facts?
That's it, man. That's it for fun facts.
I got a couple here. Although known for his compulsiveness and his history of doing numerous takes, Stanley Kubrick only took 3 takes to get the famous blood pouring out of the elevator scene.
Okay. That's a lot of blood used.
It took 3 takes. Not only that, it took 9 days to set it up. And it apparently took 3 years to get the shot right.
Oh, my Lord. So
between, I think, post and pre-production, it took a year for just that scene.
Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious. Stanley Kubrick apparently wanted Slim Pickens to play the role of Halloran. Slim Pickens, who played Major King Kong in Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, wanted nothing to do with Stanley Kubrick. So clearly Shelley Duvall is not the only person who had a bad experience with him. The famous improvised line of "Here's Johnny" was almost not used. Kubrick, who lived in England at the time, didn't understand the reference, the Johnny Carson reference.
I'm glad it was used. Yeah,
I thought it was pretty cool. What else? I've got a ton here. Bear with me. The snowy hedge maze at the end of the movie was made up of, the snow on it was made up of 900 tons of salt and crushed styrofoam.
Oh, geez. The time it probably would have taken to do that.
Ugh. Jack Nicholson has described Shelley Duvall's performance as fantastic and has said that her job was the toughest job of any actor he had ever seen. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt it.
I don't either.
Shelley Duvall has stated in an interview that due to her having to be in constant state of hysteria in The Shining, she cried so much that she became dehydrated and basically ran out of tears.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So she had to always walk around with a water bottle because she was dehydrated. She had cried so much. Awful.
Oh, poor girl.
And then finally, the film took 51 weeks to film. 51 weeks. and it caused delays to Raiders of the Lost Ark, which was set to film at the same studio. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's wild, man. 51
weeks. Wow. All right, let's get into the fine folks and not so fine folks who helped make this movie. Kicking it off, directed by Stanley Kubrick, one of the most famous directors of all time, also directed Full Metal Jacket, 2001 A Space Odyssey, A Clockwork Orange, Paths of Glory, Lolita, The Killing. The list goes on and on. This one, written by Stephen King, a.k.a. The King, did Under the Dome, The Boogeyman, The Dead Zone, Secret Window, Secret Garden. The list goes on for miles. We at Reviews at Scare salute you.
Yes, sir. Stephen
King. Also written by Stanley Kubrick, who also wrote Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, Barry Lyndon, Eyes Wide Shut, just to name a few. And then finally, Diane Johnson also wrote 2003's The Divorce, starring Kate Hudson and Naomi Watts. These are her only 2 film writing credits.
Really? That's it?
Huh. The Shining and The Divorce.
2 totally different movies.
Pretty unbelievable. Yeah. They both take place in the Overlook Hotel. Starring, they're a big cast, but I'm going to only name five here, or six, I guess. Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance. Where to start with Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
One of the most celebrated and loved actors of all time. Starred in such films as One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Chinatown, The Departed, As Good as It Gets, Batman, Easy Rider, The Man, The Myth, The Jack Nicholson. Shelley Duvall as Wendy Torrance, another legend, also starred in Popeye as Olive Oil, 1977's Annie Hall, 1981's Time Bandits, and maybe most famously for, I guess, people our age, in three episodes of Fairy Tale Theater. Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall.
Really?
Yeah. Also starring Danny Lloyd as Danny Torrance. Also was in 2019's Dr. Sleep as a spectator. Okay. He is a professor of biology at a community college in Kentucky now.
Oh, right on.
Also starring Lisa Burns and Louise Burns as Mr. Grady's daughters. Lisa is now a lawyer and Louise is a published scientist.
I think they make their appearance at cons and shit sometimes.
Man, why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know? And then finally, Scatman Crothers as Dick Halloran, also starred in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Disney's The Aristocats, Twilight Zone the movie, and as the voice of Jazz in 33 episodes of the Transformers TV show. And not only that, he also won a Saturn Award for his role as Halloran in The Shining.
Oh, right on.
Pretty excellent. All righty, moving along, synopsis for The Shining, courtesy of our good friends at IMDb. A family heads to an isolated hotel for the winter, where a sinister presence influences the father into violence, while his psychic son sees horrific foreboding from both past and future. Ooh.
Much better than Christine's.
Not yet. Yeah, much better, much better. This leads to one of our favorite segments of the show, Kill Count.
Kill Count. The time of the show we count. The kills.
Blairski, do we have a kill count for this one?
We're just counting two kills for this movie. We're not going to count. We're not going to count the everything that happened inside the hotel.
It gets a little muddy. It's kind of past, present. What numbers are we counting here?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going with two. Two awesome. For The Shining. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that leads us to likes and dislikes. The portion of the show where we discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, and everything in between. Did you want to talk about those two kills?
Yeah, well, one was very sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
The poor guy comes to save the day.
Yeah.
He just shows up and dies.
It's a really great death, obviously, Dick Halloran. And you know that Jack Torrance is hiding. You know that he's going to kill this man. You're just waiting for it to happen. And then it's so alarming and it's a close up and then the sound is so loud and it's, pretty intense.
And then the second one to me is, it's almost a little comical just the way Jack's face looks, completely frozen in the maze somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You could only imagine. But I love it. I love it.
The Simpsons do a really good parody of The Shining called The Shining.
Oh, man. So we watched that after watching The Shining last night. Yeah. We watched that episode.
I just love the final scene of that episode where the family is all frozen, but they're watching the TV, but they're so frozen they can't change the channel.
Yeah. Bart's asking Homer to change the channel.
What did you think about the intro in this one?
I have that written down. I love a lot of the shots in this movie, especially the intro.
Yeah.
I love the intro shots. I also love the shots when Danny's riding his tricycle through the hallway.
Yeah.
How it's kind of the camera's just following them through the halls. I really like that.
There's so many shots where I feel where it's following, and then it comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
Or you're just waiting for something to appear. The hotel is so big. So he's riding his tricycle, and then all of a sudden he takes a corner and bam,
They're the girls.
The Grady twins. Daughters. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The Grady daughters. I love the intro. I thought with the Torrance family driving through the mountains, it's fantastic. It's iconic. But what makes the intro and what makes a lot of this movie is the music.
Mm-hmm.
It is so chilling and so haunting and so full of dread. I can't get enough of it. It is so gothic sounding, and I would like more, please.
Yeah, we always talk about the score either adding or taking away from a movie, and it definitely added to this movie.
Apparently, Kubrick wanted John Williams to do it originally.
Okay.
Guy who did the Star Wars.
Okay.
But then decided to just get a whole bunch of different composers to work on it, and holy hell,
it worked out. Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah, you had mentioned visually, this movie is really, really cool. A lot of really cool shots. It was so weird in a hotel that is so big.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this movie feels so claustrophobic.
Right. Well, it's because that's exactly how they were feeling.
Absolutely. It gives it makes you kind of feel like you're getting cabin fever.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was so, so cool. A lot of really long shots, like zooming in, which I thought was neat too. A lot of great shots right in the character's face. No personal space in this one. Again, leading to that claustrophobia, leading to that cabin fever. You're in each other's face at all times.
And their use of colors too, man. Like the reds they use in this movie.
Yeah.
There's so many like just vibrant, like blood colored reds in this movie. And it just makes it feel so eerie.
I'm just thinking, like, in particular, the red bathroom that nobody addresses at all. And the red is like an obnoxious red. Like, very it is like so. A red that if you were going to walk in there, you'd say, wow, this bathroom is really red.
It's like completely nobody, red. There's some trim, but that's it.
Yeah.
That's
but it. Nobody brings it up. No. You know, it's like, oh, it's just red. It's like, no, but it's red.
Well, it's just like the carpet, too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The carpet kind of just gives off that same vibe a little bit.
Yeah. Not even the carpet in the hallways, the carpet in the room. There's design wise. It's the hotel is really, really interesting. And it's almost like it's a character itself.
Yeah.
It has so much personality. Not only the inside of the house or the hotel, but also the grounds and the hedge maze, which of course plays such a pivotal role in the movie.
Yeah.
What else did you like about this one?
Well, we got to talk about the acting, man.
Yes, please.
All right. So Jack and Wendy were great.
Yeah.
Some of the best acting I've ever seen. I felt like as the movie went on, they got better. It's like they started investing more and more into their characters as the movie went on. Loved it. Loved it. I don't know why, Shelley Duvall got nominated for a Razzie at all. I don't get that. I thought she was excellent, but
yeah, I thought Jack Nicholson, I felt like the first couple times I watched this, his performance felt a little bit over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But the more times I watched this movie, it just seems so much more grounded to me. And it's like his character is just losing his mind.
Have you seen those video clips of him pumping himself up and getting psyched?
It's terrifying.
Right?
I think we've talked about it before, the scene right before he's about to cut through that second door with the axe. Yeah. And he's just like, it's terrifying. Like, get out of his way.
He's like smacking himself in the head. He is fucking psyching himself up.
Yeah. Shelley Duvall dealt with so much shit during the making of this movie, which is tragic, but holy hell, was she great.
Yeah, she really was.
We had mentioned that. I know Stephen King wasn't overly happy with her performance. I think he had mentioned that it was just like a lot of crying.
Mm-hmm.
She was fantastic. So two scenes in particular, I'm thinking of the baseball bat scene and then the scene with Jack Nicholson chopping through the door.
Oh man. She looks so terrified. You feel so bad for her when you're watching that movie.
The terror, like you said, she looks so terrified. The terror that she portrays is second to none. I've never seen a movie where somebody has seemed that genuinely scared that her husband is going to kill them right then and there and potentially in front of their child.
I read an interview from Kubrick that says he said that she wasn't acting. like she was scared. She literally was scared.
And I'm wondering if he had something to do with that. You know,
yeah.
I'm thinking he did. She seems so trapped in, and that's not like a bad thing. I don't think her character seems so trapped physically in the hotel, but also I think mentally, she was trapped mentally in that relationship with Jack. And she was so good in this movie. And yeah, she deserves the praise for this movie. She was believable and brilliant. And yeah, also Danny Lloyd as Danny Torrance was great. I don't think he really was. And I don't think he was aware during the filming of that he was making it like a scary movie. He was just a kid.
I think he was told they were making a drama.
Yeah. But anytime like there was a close up on his face, or anytime the Shining kicks in, or of course the famous Red Rum scene, like this kid kills it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that he didn't go on to continue acting.
Yeah. I honestly, yeah. Well, this and then Dr. Sleep, I think that was.
And that was just as a cameo appearance. A
cameo. Exactly. Yeah. And then Scatman Crothers was fantastic. He brought just like his character had so much warmth and caring in his character, especially that scene with him and Danny having ice cream.
Talking about The Shining.
And he was kind of talking to him like he wasn't, I don't think, overly babying him, but he was like, this kid, you know, I had my, I think it was his grandmother who had The Shining as well. And he's like, I had that with her, but this kid's got nobody. So like, I'm going to be what my grandmother was to me, to this kid, which was really, really sweet.
It was unfortunate. Even from the beginning, before they even got to the hotel, it felt like a broken family. Like Jack and Wendy's relationship, the chemistry was just off from the beginning, from the second they were in the car on their way up there.
Yeah. And it's they try and make it as clear as possible in a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. In the book, it's a little bit more detailed, as obviously Jack has had a
alcoholic past.
He's hurt Danny physically before. So it's like, you can see that this is a family. It's not only like, oh, he needs to take this job to get a job. It's like, this is maybe like a fresh start for them.
Yeah.
And it's maybe the worst possible thing that they could do.
Definitely at the worst place they could possibly go.
Yeah. I love all of the Shining flashbacks that Danny gets. So basically like any scene with Danny and the Grady daughters are great. And it's like, those are the scenes really that when I think of The Shining, I obviously think of the baseball bat scene. I think of the axe chopping down the door scene, and I think of Come Play With Us, Danny.
I also think of the bathroom scene.
The bathroom scene, of course, yeah. Can we talk about that bathroom scene? And like, especially
so frightening, man.
The makeup in that scene?
Yeah.
How cool was that, hey?
It's so gross, but like, it is awesome. But like, oh man, it's just gross.
Yeah, I put beyond gross, so incredibly cool.
It's exactly what it is, man.
Oh, goodness. What else did you like about this one?
Oh, let's see what I've got here. Well, pretty much everything, man. Like, I don't know. I like this movie. This is one of my favorite movies.
I want to mention a few more things here, if you don't mind. I love the random days of the week title cards.
Yes, or like that too.
The time of the day or whatever that pops up. It means nothing to us as the viewer.
No.
The timeline means nothing. It doesn't move the story forward. It's irrelevant to us. But I think to the characters, especially Jack in particular, maybe only Jack, it means everything to him. He knows like exactly what time it is, of what day, of what week, of what month. This guy's got nothing but time on his side. And he's just counting down the days till he can get, I don't know, till he can get out of there maybe.
Yeah.
But I think those title cards are for Jack. It felt like, you know,
I like them.
What else? Tension in the movie is great. The elevator scene, really, really, really cool.
Do you know how much blood they used for that scene?
I don't know. And they did it three times, so I imagine they used a lot of it. Could you imagine being on the cleanup crew for that? It's like Kubrick, they shot it once. Oh, we're going to have to do that again. It's like, oh, my God. It's going to take hours to reset. And then they do it again. He said, we're going to have to do it again. Like,
oh, man.
Dear Lord. Anything you weren't crazy about in this movie?
Yeah, so just the length. Yeah. So as much as I love this movie, just for me, any movie really over 2 hours, I don't know. I find them long.
I hear you.
I'm not going to complain about it too much. But the last thing I'm just going to talk about, it's not the fact I didn't like it. But it is, to me, after just reading the book like a year ago, they are two totally different things. So as I said earlier, I look at this as Stanley Kubrick's movie, The Shining.
Right, The Shining.
Right?
Right.
Based off Stephen King.
Loosely based, yeah.
And then, yeah, it would be interesting to see if someone did almost exact as the book. The book has has a whole backstory behind it. Wendy's a much stronger person. There's like edge monsters.
Yeah. It's like, is there not like a dog or like a human sized dog or like.
Yeah, there's like giant animals. Like,
and they reference it in the movie where it's like there's a person in a dog costume right at the end. But it's like, that's irrelevant if you're not going to bring it up earlier in the movie. It's like what that is. Because it's like, if you don't, it's just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's just when Shelley Duvall just kind of catches a glimpse of them in the bedroom.
Yeah, but it's like they don't address it before. They don't address it after. It's just like Stanley Kubrick being weird.
So yeah, that's not something I didn't like. It's just something I'm going to bring up is like you can't really watch this movie and compare it to the book because they are two totally different things.
Right. Sweet. I think that's it for likes and dislikes. What do you say? We move right along to our next segment here. Lessons we learned from watching 1980s The Shining.
Lessons we learned from watching. Insert title of movie here.
The segment of the show where we talk about the valuable life lessons we learned from watching said movie. Blairski, did you learn anything from watching 1980s The Shining?
All I learned in this film is that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Excellent.
I know you have a list, brother, but yeah.
I've got a few on here. That's a good one, though. I do not have that one. I have cabin fever is a claustrophobic reaction which can occur when people are shut in together over long periods of time. Also famously portrayed in a song and dance routine in The Muppets Treasure Island.
It's a great scene. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Auto-hypnosis is a self-induced trance. Next, I have dried prunes. You got to keep regular if you want to keep happy. Words of wisdom from Mr. Halloran.
Yes, sir.
More words of wisdom from Mr. Halloran. Some places are like people. Some shine and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, memorize a hedge maze whenever possible. You never know when you might be chased through one by your crazed axe-wielding father, and you need to know the quickest way in and out.
That's a really good one, man. I was trying to think of something to do with the hedge maze.
Yeah. This leads to our next segment. Some might say it's our favorite, Line of the Night.
Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night.
The segment of the show where we discuss our favorite lines from the movie. They might give us chills. They might give us the giggles. All we know is that they are our favorites. Blairski, want to kick it off?
I know you have another list for this, so I got one line of the night, and that's cool. Here's Johnny.
Oh, so good.
Not even just that, but the entire scene. He even references like the three little pigs and all that. It's so good.
Little pigs. So good. Little pigs. Yeah. I do have a list. This might be the biggest list I have. bear with me. They're great. Yeah. Danny, to kick it off, when Jack is telling him about the Donner Party, says, "Don't worry, Mom. I know all about cannibalism. I saw it on TV."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next I have is from Danny and Wendy. When they are racing to the entrance of the hedge maze, they both say, "Loser has to keep America clean."
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have from the Grady daughters, "Come play with us, Danny." What else I got here? Jack, when asked by Danny if he likes the hotel, Jack says, "I wish we could stay here forever and ever."
He's already lost it at that point.
Already. That is a very eerie scene.
Yeah.
Lloyd, the bartender, says, "Your money is no good here. Orders from the house." Of course, we have Danny, Red Rum.
I've got that decked on my car.
Yep. And then I have Tony / Danny. This is my favorite line. This is a line that I use almost weekly.
Okay.
Danny's not here, yeah. Mrs. Torrance.
You do.
Oh, goodness. And then I got a couple here from Jack to Wendy. "I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in."
So fucked up.
And then I also said, "Here's Johnny." But the first door he chops through, he says, "Wendy, I'm home."
Mm-hmm.
So many good lines in this one. I could go on and on and on. But instead of doing that, what do you say we jump into our favorite segment of the night? Celebrity lookalike time.
Celebrity lookalike time.
The time of the show where we take a look at the cast and discuss their celebrity doppelgangers. Spoiler alert, it usually comes down to the character's hairstyle. Blairski, what do you have for celebrity lookalike time?
I've got two. The first is Stuart Allman, who is the hotel manager, the guy that gives Jack the interview. He reminded me a lot of Fred Willard.
Okay. Yeah.
He's in How High, Best in Show, Everyone Loves Raymond, Acre.
Yeah.
Very funny guy. So he reminded me a lot of him. I think a lot had to do with the hair.
Sure.
And finally, Danny Torrance reminded me of a young Taryn Noah Smith, who played the youngest of the kids, Mark, in Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Again, it's for sure the hair.
Without a doubt.
Fun fact about him, he now works for Elon Musk after creating some sort of vegan cheese. I don't know what vegan cheese and Elon Musk have in common, but...
Well, they're using the vegan cheese as jet fuel to get the
for SpaceX.
The SpaceX up to Mars. Everyone knows vegan cheese is the way to go. Goodness. I've got one celebrity lookalike. It's maybe a bit of a stretch. Shelley Duvall, towards the end of the movie, it's mostly the hair, reminded me a lot of Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. This leads to our final rating for 1980s The Shining. Blairski, out of 5 elevators filled to the brim with what appears to be Hawaiian punch, what do you give The Shining?
I'm giving The Shining 4.5 elevators filled to the brim with what appears to be Hawaiian punch out of 5.
Excellent rating. Excellent indeed. I'm going to give it an astonishing 5 elevators filled to the brim with what appears to be Hawaiian punch out of 5. I am someone who complains all the time about the length of movies. This one could have been longer for me. I loved it.
Loved it. Have you ever seen Dr. Sleep?
I have. I've only ever seen it once.
Great movie.
I really like Dr. Sleep as well. It's great.
I'm actually in the middle of reading that book.
Okay.
I've taken a little hiatus. I got to get back to it, but I'm about halfway done it.
You got to get back on that, the reading challenge.
I know, right? I know.
Oh, goodness. That's it for September. All in all, I had a great September. It was a fun month to do Stephen King, someone who we both admire a lot.
Yeah, it was.
And it was kind of cool that we did, I think, 2 movies that he really liked and 2 movies that he thought were a bit shit.
Yeah. We started off with 2 movies he really liked and finished the month with 2 movies he thought were shit.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely kind of more opposite for us.
Absolutely. That being said, we've mentioned it before, but October is coming up.
Yeah, man.
And we are going to have a lot for you guys. So just keep listening. We're really excited about the content coming out for October. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be so much fun.
It's good. That's the thing, man. It's going to be a lot, but it's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But from Review Set Scared with Jess and Blair, I'm Jess.
I'm Blair. Remember to stay scary.
And eat every sandwich. Bye.
There it is. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Review Set Scare. Make sure you check out our Linktree at linktree.com/ReviewSetScare. That's linktr.ee/ReviewSetScare, which has links to our Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, Twitch, and many other things. If you'd like to email us, you can reach us at reviewsetscare@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay scary and eat every sandwich. A proud member of the Planet X Network.